We're going to be focusing for the next few moments on God's word for us today. Today, we're starting a brand new series that we've entitled Crazy Faith. And this series has been something that's been in the works for us. It's actually inspired by another pastor's work. His name is Pastor Michael Todd. And ever since we came across this idea, this concept, we realized this is something that is for us. This is something we need to do. And so I've been asking God, when are we supposed to do it? And now is the time. And so here's what we're going to be doing over the next quarter, over the next 11 weeks, is we're going to be talking about crazy faith. We're going to be talking about how to break down the different parts of faith, how to grow in your faith, what are the baby steps, what are the sustaining faith, how do we deal with crisis, how do we make decisions in regards to faith. So we're going to be breaking it down for this quarter. And as we do it, we also recognize that when we get together on the weekends for our services, most of our communication and our dealing with learning and being challenged with God's word is a one-way street, where I'm basically presenting this is what we're doing. But for this series, for this beginning time of the year, we're offering something special. Pastor Shalee just talked about it, our focus groups. And our focus groups is something that we've been doing the last several years, and we're continuing it for this third year, is the idea of saying, hey, let's take this message series and let's also expand it so that you guys can talk together about it, so we can actually grow together. So all the groups are doing the exact same material. They're meeting on the exact same week, all scattered throughout the week. Some are in people's homes. Some are here at the church. But the encouragement is that you be a part of the conversation, that you would be a part of the learning and the growing together. You get to meet new people because it's going to be people who pick the same night as when you're meeting. And they're going to start the week of February 5th. So all the groups will meet that week. Then there'll be a week off. Then there'll be another week, and we're going to have five lessons like that, and it's going to carry us throughout this whole series right up until Easter. So we highly encourage you to spend the next couple of weeks, find a group, sign up online, sign up in the lobby at our Connection Center, be a part of a focus group, because we're going to get so much more out of this as we go on this journey of crazy faith together. Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. Because there is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. Right now, I'd like to invite you to pull out your phones and pull out the Bible app, because we're going to be looking together today at Genesis chapter 6. Now, we encourage you to have the Bible app on your phone so that you always have it available. And we understand that in just a few moments, we're going to have the words up on the screen. So you may say, why do I need to look where it's at? It's because we're practicing. We want you to find it. We want you to look for it in the Bible. Can you find where Genesis chapter 6 is? And we also want you to re-look at it for yourself. Read the text in front of this. Read the text after this. Find out more about this. Now, I encourage you to find out more about this after the next few moments, like later on this week, not right now. Now, when he came in today, you should have received some notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill in the blanks. The answers are going to come up on the screen as we go along. And the reason why we do this is so that you don't fall asleep, and so that you know exactly how long I'm going to be talking for, and so that you can be engaged with this. But we also provide it because we want you to take these notes and take them and make them a devotion to use later on this week, maybe Wednesday or Thursday. Take them out, reread the passages, reread what it says, and make sure it agrees with what you see in the Bible. And we thank you that you trust us with translating God's good news and God's message with you. But we also, our desire is that you would grow and be challenged by God's word, that you would know what it says as well. Now, I want to say hi to those who are watching online. We're so glad that you are with us. It's not a mistake that you're here with us, and we're glad you are. And we want to encourage you this moment to let us know that you're watching with us. And the way you can do that is you can write your name and where you're watching from in the comments below. And one of our hosts will be happy to greet you there. We're excited that you're watching with us. So our reading today in Genesis chapter 6, we're starting with verse number 9, reading out of the New Living Translation. And we're talking about a guy by the name of Noah. Here's what it says. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and filled with violence. God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out with the earth. But he said this to Noah, build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall or high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put a door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Look, I am about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die. I want that. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would challenge us, that you would change us, that you'd help us know what it takes to begin a growing journey of faith. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen, amen. Well, just last weekend, my wife and I, we were not here. We were on a vacation trip to Puerto Rico, and that was really as a result of you guys and the board sending us on a trip for our for Pastor Appreciation back in October. We finally got to go on the trip, and let me just say it was amazing. But I had this thought as we were traveling to that island that how crazy it is that we're all lining up to board a big metal tube that's going to get hurled through the air at 30,000 feet, and we're going to act like it's nothing and maybe even complain if it's a little bumpy, right? I mean, if we were to go back 100 years and if we were to say, hey, I've got this idea. I think we can do way faster travel getting people from here to there if we just fling people in the air, you know, with wings. Everyone would say, that's crazy, right? Trains were the best thing to place to get around. Boats over water, not going through the air. It's amazing how things change. That if you told us years ago that we'd be walking around with supercomputers in our pockets, we'd say, that's crazy. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, we went with our family on a vacation to Houston. And while we were in Houston, we went to the Space Center, the NASA Space Center there. And they have an actual space shuttle there that you can actually walk through and see. And as a kid, I loved the space shuttle. I wanted an opportunity at some point to be able to go up in the space shuttle. It's amazing. They're describing all the technology, how it's developed. And what was special about the space shuttle is that they had developed it in a way that it can go all the way to outer space and come back and be reused again and keep on going, a shuttle. And while the tour guide was giving the tour, he was explaining that he's saying these computers that were running the space shuttle that took this ship all the way out into space was the most complex technological advanced thing at the time. And he said, and it pales against the computer in your pocket, your phone. Your phone is more powerful than all the computers in the entire space shuttle. And that's crazy. I mean, if we were to hold our phone in our hand right now and look at it, we're like, man, there's so much things we can do. We kind of live with it, kind of glued to the screen. Now it tries to help us with how much time and hours we spend a day looking at our phone, right? And yet, it hasn't always been in our pocket. See, I can remember a day. It was early on in my wife and I's relationship. She had to travel for quite a bit to get between where we were going to school and where we had an apartment. It was a long stretch of road that was kind of a back road in Texas. And all I could think about is all the things that could go wrong. Like, what if she breaks down? What if she gets into an accident? Like, how would she get help if she's traveling 5 days a week going back and forth here? And I was just very concerned about it. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to decide to get her a cellular phone. Notice I said cellular phone. And so this phone was a state-of-the-art Motorola phone that you had to flip out the talking part and you had to pull up the little antenna. And it was very square-ish with angles on it. And I was excited to do it. But, you know, I had to sign, like, my life away to get this phone, like a contract for multiple years and promise of giving away my firstborn son and all these pieces just to get it. And here's the stickler on it. Here's the crazy thing. You could only use it for 15 minutes a month. I was paying an insane amount of money every month just so that it could be 15 minutes. And I presented it to Shalee, and I'm like, here you go. I love you. I want to take care of you. She's like, great. I can call my friends. I'm like, no, you don't call anybody on this device. We can't afford to. You only have it. This is for emergencies only. And we just stored it underneath her chair. And it gave me peace of mind, but think today, I'm like, I'm not sending my teenage drivers out without their phones. Like, use the GPS, you know? How did we ever find places before, right? But at some point, it was considered crazy. You see, it's only crazy until it happens. Noah, in this passage, God would speak to him, and God was saying, hey, I'm done with planet Earth. I'm destroying it. Hey, you guys are cool. I want to save you guys. So go ahead and build a boat on dry land. Okay, now I'm going to just take a wild guess here that Noah was not a shipbuilder, that this was not his occupation. And I would also guess that by the way that God was very specific in the design of the boat and how big it was, that this was probably going to be like a Guinness World Record-sized boat at the time. That they weren't building boats this big. That they didn't have a need to. There's actually many scholars who believe that in Noah's time that there hadn't been rain to this point, the way how the earth was designed. That the dew took care of things, that it's the natural water cycle. And so for God to say there's going to be a flood, there's going to be rain, there's going to be all these things, this is like, can you just imagine Noah just for a moment? Like, whoa. God, are you okay? You seem a little angry and you're asking me to do some crazy stuff? Like, who does this? But if we were to read just a couple scriptures further, here's what it says. It says that Noah did everything God commanded. He did it. Now, I have to imagine, though, that when it came to Noah, it's important that we get this, that, okay, God sent a flood, Noah built a boat, Noah and his family was saved, but there was an important part in the passage we just read that we can't overlook. It said that Noah already had a relationship with God. That they were tight together, that he was the only one on the planet who really was. And so I'm going to take a wild guess here to say that the crazy thing that God was asking him to do to build a boat, that this wasn't the only time ever that God asked him to do something that required faith. You see, we look around at people who we deem as having a lot of faith, and we have admiration for them, don't we? Like, wow, man, that person's full of faith. That's amazing. And we're like, wow. I mean, that's not me, but good for you. Like, some people have faith, and other people are like the rest of us. Like, ooh, I don't know if I can even have faith enough to get up in the morning, right? Like my tank is, like, low, or I'm not sure a tank even exists. And it's like either you have faith or you don't, and it seems so far away, and it seems so complicated, and yet, let me just tell you, it's not something that you just have or have not. It's not an A or B type of thing, but actually, faith is something you grow in. You start somewhere, and everybody can. You see, it's not too late to build your foundation of faith. It's not too late. It doesn't matter if you say, I have no faith right now. Guess what? That's good news. You can start now. You can grow. You may say, I only got like faith to like do this a little bit. That's okay. You can grow more now, but you got to start somewhere. You got to have a foundation. The foundation begins with a relationship with God. Now, foundations are a very important thing. And a few years back when we first moved here to Sun Prairie, we had the privilege, the opportunity to actually build a house. And I'd never been a part of building a house before. And I'm hearing from the person explaining to me the process. And I'm hearing the process that it's going to take a month to do this, it's going to take a month to do that, a month to do this, and then take 3 months to do all the rest. And what I was really surprised about was that the entire third month was just about a hole in the ground and some concrete lining the hole, the foundation. And I'm like, you know what? You could probably like save some time and give me my house faster if as soon as you dig the hole, you put the concrete and you build the house. And they explained that the foundation is the most important thing and you've got to get it right. Because once you build a house, you can fix a window, you can fix a door, you can fix the roof, you can fix a wall. But if there's a problem with the foundation, you got to tear the whole thing down to fix it. That it's a big deal. Now they explained this to me, but then I got like a firsthand lesson in it, because after our house was built and we moved into it, they were building a house next door to ours. And the person who poured the concrete for their foundation and for their basement messed the whole thing up. It was slanted and it broke. And it was brand new. And they had to rip and dig out every piece of concrete to start over. And it delayed their home a whole bunch of time there. Foundations are important. Now, one of the tallest buildings in the world is one that's called the Burj Khalifa. And it's over 2,700 feet tall. Just to put that in perspective as a freestanding building, that's twice as tall as the Empire State Building. Can you imagine how fast the elevators go? Like a rocket ship, right? Now, this building, though, in order to build this largest freestanding building, they had to pay attention to the foundation. As a matter of fact, there's so much concrete and steel in the foundation that it actually goes 12 stories below ground is how much is needed to hold all of that that's above ground. Foundations are important. And Noah didn't just start his faith with building an ark. That because he had a relationship, that means that God has continually been challenging him to step out in faith, that he knew God's voice and he would obey God. And he grew to this point that it was like all of a sudden it looks to us like, whoa, Noah has faith. This is a big deal. And yet it was just his next step, a trust in God that stretched him just a little bit more. But it was because of his foundation, of his relationship with him, that he could even have the faith in the first place. You see, what is crazy now may be considered faith in the next season. And I want to share with you just for a moment that I said a few moments ago that I believe that this message series is for this church right now. And that God's been leading us that this is something we're supposed to do right now. But I also know that God doesn't work in a vacuum. That he's just not dealing with us in one moment that is a total shift from what he's been doing before. As a matter of fact, when it comes to this idea of faith, we might already know what to do. Let me explain. I want to give you the keys of what it takes to grow in faith. Okay? This is not in your notes. You want to take some time in the margins to write this down, because this is what it takes to grow in your faith. So I don't care if you got a lot of faith or you got like no faith. These are the keys, okay? The groundwork is you need to have a relationship with God. But here are the two steps of what it takes to grow in your faith. You ready for this? The first one, you got to hear from God. The second one, you got to do whatever he says. You got to obey. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Like, we maybe have been talking about this maybe for the last couple years here at Focus Church, that we want to be a church, we want to be a family that follows Jesus, that we hear from God, we obey God, and we do what? That's right, that we shorten the distance in between. This is what it takes to grow in faith. You got to hear from God. You got to obey God. What did Noah do? He heard from God. And then he did exactly what God told him to do. And then later on, it's counted that he had great faith. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, it's known as the faith chapter. I highly recommend you read it. I don't have it in your notes, but also put that in your notes. I want to read Hebrews chapter 11. Got it? I see no one writing. You online, you write this down. Hebrews chapter 11, read it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it talks about Noah. I'm going to read out the Message translation. It says this, it's in your notes. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result, his family was saved. And his act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the righteousness of the believing world. And as a result, Noah became intimate with God. He heard from God, he obeyed God, and he did it as quickly as possible. Now here's the deal. We like hearing stories about people stepping out in faith and doing something awesome for God. But we don't really ever take a moment to say, I want to be in that position. Like, I would like to have faith, but, whew. I mean, if we really were to stop and think about it, if you were in Noah's shoes, like, would you actually do it? I mean, because here's what Noah could have done is he could have been like, you know what? I heard God, and even though God was really specific, like he even gave me measurements for a boat and where the windows and doors should be and how many levels and what it should hold, he could have been, well, I don't know if I really heard from God or if that was the bad pizza I had this last night. I'm not so sure, you know. I wish I had confirmation. Like if somebody else would tell me they heard from God too, like if they could confirm it or something. And so a lot of times when God gives us directives and things to do, we drag our feet in going to do it. We're not sure. We have doubts. We don't necessarily want to do what it is we're being asked to do. We don't think it's going to work. We think it's crazy. We go, I'm not so sure. Oh, I know. I had someone very wise tell me the last few years they have way more experience riding on the spaceship called Earth going around the sun, so they're experienced in life or old. They shared this with me, and it changed my life. They said, Pastor, if you ever feel like God's farther away or you're not hearing from him much anymore, then you need to go back to the last thing he did tell you because you probably haven't done it yet, and he's just waiting. You see, this is how God works, that he asks us to do things, and then it's that distance, that time of what it takes to actually do it, to actually obey. And because Noah did something crazy, the result was it affected other people. It saved his family. It was God's plan. And for this situation, guess what? God's plan was the best plan. If he had done anything else, if he decided, you know what, I don't think the boat should be that big. Oh, I don't think I need to work on it this soon. Oh, I think it might should have like more windows or something. Or I'm going to have to use some different wood. Or I'm going to have some more people be on the boat for a... It probably wouldn't have worked out as good as what it did. It was God's plan, not Noah's plan. But it was by faith that he did it. How about we bring it into our times right now? You know, just 6 years ago, it was by faith that a family of seven people left the warm climate of Kansas to go up to the frozen area of Wisconsin only because God told them to, by faith, to go lead a church for the very first time. I'm talking about my family, in case you don't know. And we did it only because God said to do it. And we knew we have to do it because God's plans are the best plans. And we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. We're just thankful you didn't make us become Packers fans. Because right now, we're enjoying our playoff run right now. Kansas City Chiefs, yep. Going to the Super Bowl, right? I said it out loud. It's recorded. It's going to happen, right? But we did it for faith, and we're still here. and God's been doing amazing things. As a matter of fact, let me share a story about it. It was only just a few months into being here that I was confronted with an awful truth, that this church wasn't actually making it financially. That although they promised that, hey, you're going to get some paychecks, Pastor, I actually couldn't cash the paychecks. We just didn't have it. We were struggling. And I did the calculations, and we actually only had about 6 months left to stay open, and then we were going to have to close our doors. And this was not cool to hear. But we're praying, and we're asking God, what are we supposed to do? And God gives us vision and dreams and directive of a new identity for what this church should be, what focused church is supposed to be, how we're supposed to do just a few things and do them extremely well, that we're going to be focused on the next generation, and we're going to be focused on helping people find God's place in our life. And we're like, yes! And we're like, how are we going to pay for it? And the only spot we had some funds, because it takes money to change a church and to change branding and do all these things, was what was left in our savings account. And we had a tough decision to make as the leadership, as the board of the church, to say, did we hear from God? Are we actually going to use up the money that we have in the bank account in order to make this change, leaving us with no safety net, with no backup, no emergency fund, when we already calculated that we only have enough to make it 6 months, and if we spend it all, we have enough to make it for 3 months? We had a decision. Were we going to follow what God said to do? Well, guess how it turned out? We're still here. And God's been a part of writing a story here at Focus Church. Because here at Focus Church, we want to be in the middle of whatever God's doing. Because God's plans are the best. He knows way much more than what we do. And let me just tell you, when it comes to faith, this is the key right here. When it comes to faith, it's not just about this abstract concept. Let me boil it down to a concept you can understand when it comes to faith. Your level of faith is directly related to your level of trusting God. Do you trust him? Do I trust him this far or that far? This much or this much? Do you trust him? Will he come through? Is he lying to you? Is he misleading you? Is he hazing you? Is he trying to destroy your life? Or does he have your best interest in mind? Is his plans the best plans? This one concept has just exploded my mind just thinking about this. That if God is the one leading us to do something, then we can already bank and bet it's going to work. He is the ultimate person who knows everything. He knows things we don't even know if he can do anything. So if he's leading us to do something, then it's going to work, even if we think it's crazy. Remember, it's only crazy until it happens. I mean, it was God who orchestrated a few years ago, 3 years ago, when he said, I want two churches to merge into one. And we're like, okay, God, if that's what you want. We weren't thinking that. I mean, it happened so fast, and God was in it, and God moved things that shouldn't have been moved, and he pulled two churches together. And I don't think it was a coincidence that the day it finished, we got a letter from the state of Wisconsin saying the churches are merged into one. What was Capital City Church is now Focus Church. Focus Church is the entity over two places. It was March 23rd, 2020. And it was March 25th, 3 days later, the governor shut down the state. God knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing with the story of these two churches. And I believe that we are stronger together. And he sustained us. He sustained them through the whole process. But God knew what he was doing. We were following his plans for us. Now, let's bring it into this last year. Because we were 2 years into this merger, and we were operating two locations and multiple services and trying to figure out what's the next step. What are we supposed to do now? What's it going to be? And so I was praying at the beginning of 2021 saying, God, what are we supposed to do with that building, with that space? Are we supposed to keep on doing church services over there? I don't know. Will you just tell me what the plan is? I mean, how many have at least wished that? God would just tell me the plan. Tell me what to do, right? And so I'm praying and I'm asking God, tell us what to do. And he tells me something. Here's what he said. He said, Ryan, if you'll go to this conference in Houston, I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. And I'm like, oh, okay. All I got to do is go to a place, be at a conference, and God's going to speak to me and give me directions. I'm in. Now, mind you, the conference started in 4 days. And so we had to scramble. But I knew that God had said, Ryan, I'm going to tell you what to do if you're at this conference. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. And so my wife and I and Pastor Andrew and Pastor Rachel, we got last-minute plane tickets. We registered for the conference. We got there. And here's what I didn't know. That as we got to this conference, it was the CMN conference, Church Multiplication Networks conference. It was in Houston. They had these sessions with these speakers scheduled, but all of a sudden they went into this moment and they said, we want to get up and let you know that we actually haven't scheduled a speaker for this next session. Because we have been praying and we believe that there are some of you here who need to hear from God. And so we've set up this time as a time where we're just going to focus on hearing from God. And I'm like, yes, great. I'm in the right place at the right time. This is going to be awesome. God's going to download. I'm going to do whatever he says. He's going to tell us what to do with our other location, with our services, what the next level of Focus Church looks like. I need direction. So they prep us. They talk to us. They set the moment. They set the mood. And they're like, just ask God to speak to you. And I said, God, I'm ready. Tell me, what am I supposed to do? And what he said next blew my mind because it wasn't something I was expecting. It wasn't even something I was looking for. It wasn't anything to do with our locations and buildings. Nothing like that, because here is what God said to me. He said, you have three young men who you have in a part-time or really like quarter-time capacity that are serving you, and I want you to make them full-time. And I'm like, huh? What's that have to do with the building? What's that have to do with their other location? And God, that costs money. I don't have that money. That's a bad plan. It's one thing, you know, when you're looking at payroll and you're looking at the income and you're looking at the budget, I mean, you can only do with what you got, right? I mean, everyone here would be in agreement. Like, you just don't, like, add employees, like, boom, like that. You just don't do that. But it's even worse because I'm explaining to God how this is not going to work. Because, I want to follow you, but this is like you've gone a step above crazy here because now we're affecting other people's lives. Like, I'm okay with, like, affecting my life, but not other people's life, because God, I can't go to these young men and say, hey, you're full time, and then a month later lay them off because we can't pay them. Not cool. Which meant the stakes were higher. That meant that I would have to know that God was speaking to me and that I was either going to do it or not do it. So what did I do? After spending about 2 weeks in prayer, talking with Pastor Shalee about it, we both felt like, yeah, this is what God told us to do. We brought the young men together, and we said, congratulations. Thanks to God, we're hiring you full time. They're like, did we get like a bunch of extra money or something? Like, nope. How are we doing it? Don't know. Are you for sure we're actually going to get paid? Hope so. What are you asking us to do? Go into your jobs and put in your 2 weeks notice, and then you're working for us full time by April 1st. Remember, God had spoken to us at the beginning of March. And I remember at the time, like, I'm like feeling sick to my stomach. I'm like this is hard. Like, what if this fails? What if this is the reason that Focus Church doesn't exist anymore? Because we followed this harebrained, crazy idea. Like, I couldn't say I was 100% sure. And so, like, how do you step out in faith? And this is something we're going to explore in the next few weeks of, like, how do you take action with faith if you don't quite sure you know what you're doing? If you're not for sure it's going to work, because, I mean, that's the point of faith. You don't know. But do you trust? Do you trust the source? Do you trust God and who he is and what he wants? Do you recognize that, guess what? I mean, here's one of the biggest things that God has taught me over the last year. He's taught me this. This isn't Ryan's church. This isn't Shalee's church. This is his church. And he can do anything he wants with it. I just have to say yes and go along with it. And you know what? That kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off. Recognize it's his. So it came time. They went to their jobs. They put in their notice. They came on. They started working April 1st. And it's time for the first payday. And in order, I mean, I would love to be able to share a great story about this, but in order to do payroll and pay what we promised them, we actually didn't have enough money, and we wiped out our emergency fund to make payroll. And let me just tell you how the conversation with God went at this point. I'm like, God, you better be knowing what you're doing, because now we have no safety net, we have nothing, and I kind of like would like to keep going leading Focus Church. But I can't lay these guys off. I mean, what are we going to do next payday? It's in a few weeks. And I can't explain it about what happened next, because it came time for the second payroll. And I'm like, I was wanting to avoid talking to our treasurer and our bookkeeper. And I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do. But I did. And they said, we don't know what happened, but somehow it's worked out to where we can pay payroll. And I'm like, but we have no extra money. And they're like, well, that's the thing. We also, in the last 2 weeks, repaid our emergency funds. So we're actually going to be able to make payroll, and our emergency fund is back. Now, you're probably thinking, oh, we probably got like extra giving or something like that. Actually, our April giving was less than what we received in March. I don't know what happened. I can tell you a miracle took place. That God did something that we can't explain that he was doing it. Because here's something that God told me, that as I wrestled with, are we going to do this? Here's the thing that God kept on telling me. He said, Ryan, it's going to feel like you're stepping off a cliff and you don't know where your foot's going to land, but I'm going to be there. I'll be there to get you. I have like a visual of my foot stepping off and there's nothing there. Kind of like that scene from Lord of the Rings where they're trying to cross to the other side and they're like, is there anything there? And they take that step and there's something there. The thing is that God took care of us and our giving increased and we have not looked back. God knew exactly what we needed for what God had for us next. And I think really God had something that our leadership needed to challenge us in how much do we trust him? How much do we recognize it's his church? Because here's the thing with God, it's always about levels. It's always about increasing. It's always about growing. It doesn't matter, remember, how much faith you have. It's how much faith you're going to have, because you're just going to trust a little bit more. Because every time we experience something where we hear from God, we obey God, and we shorten that distance in between, the faith meter inside goes up a little higher. It keeps on increasing, and God keeps on stretching, and we trust him more. And I have to believe that when I read a story about Noah being asked to build a boat in dry land because something dangerous is coming that's never existed before, it was because he had reached that level. And I believe what we just experienced as a church last spring and the miracle that took place with just following God's direction was a setup, because God asked something from us even bigger. Because what God is asking of Focus Church is that we build and operate a next-gen center and a foster care home. And let me just be the first to let you know that that's an awesome idea, and I have no idea where the money's coming from because it's expensive, okay? I mean, we were dealing with a faith issue last year that involved tens of thousands of dollars, and now God's saying, okay, you trust me with this one. How about, like, do you trust me with millions? Like, how I'm going to provide millions? Like, I have no idea. And so we could sit here as a church and we can hem and haw and say, does God really want us to do this or not? Or how are we going to do it? I'm like, it doesn't make sense. You just don't leap out here, but action's required. We got to take a step. We got to do something. So we spent the last 6 months working with the architectural firm to come up with the idea. What's it going to look like? But now we face the crossroads where the rubber meets the road, where we actually hire the construction firm, where we actually hire the architectural firm to do the real plans, the ones that describe where every brick and every block of cement, where every wire is going to go, where every light bulb's going to go, the big deal part. And we made the decision just this week. Not just the decision, the action, where we actually scribbled our name on the dotted line and signed off. I have no idea how we're doing this, but I can tell you it won't happen until we sign, till we do something, and we did. So if God wants this church to operate a next-gen center and a foster care home, okay, God. I have no idea how it's going to happen. I have no idea how it's going to pay for it, but I can say, mark my words, I believe we're going to see some amazing things in this next year that's going to blow our minds. And I believe we're going to be a year from now thinking this. I mean, like, can you believe, like, when we were talking back in January, the beginning of the Crazy Faith series, like, we had no idea, like, what we were getting ourselves into and just how crazy it was going to be. But remember, it's only crazy until it happens. I was just sharing this with the board of our church this past week, and one of our board members, Chris, he actually shows me after the board meeting. He said, hey, Pastor, I just want to show you something. I've already scheduled an appointment with you 1 year from now, and we're going to discuss how crazy it was this last year. I'm like, that's awesome. But you know what? This isn't a journey for the pastors. This isn't just a journey for the board. This is a journey for this family, for the Focus Church family. We're all, God has asked us to grow in our faith. God wants to do something amazing. So it doesn't matter that if you're part of this family, it doesn't matter where your faith meter is, whether it's high, whether it's low, it's going to grow. That's the journey that God has for us this year. That's what he's picked. That's the best plan. It's God's plan, and we want to be smack dab in the middle of it. But let me just tell you, in the same way that that Noah had to go get wood to start the project, in the same way that Focus Church had to go sign on a contract to get started, you have got to get started. You got to do something in order to grow in your faith this year. You've got to come to a decision. You've got to come to a declaration. You've got to come to a crossroads point and saying, I'm in. I think you've got to say this to God. It's in the box. It's on your notes. Is that I will grow in my faith in God this year. That I will grow. You got to decide. I can't decide for you. Like, I can say, I want you to grow. I mean, whether you're here in person, you're watching online, let me tell you, my desire, I want you to grow in your faith and trust in God this year. But it doesn't matter what I want. What matters is what you decide. This can be the year that you grow in your faith, but you got to say yes to God. You got to say, God, I'm in, that I am going to grow. I am going to choose to trust God. And I believe that God's got some amazing things planned for us. But you get to decide this. So let me encourage you that you want to be a part of the next 10 weeks as we continue to break down even the more practical aspects of what it means to grow in faith. And how do we exercise it? How do we know what to do? How do we avoid the pitfalls of it? You want to be here, and you want to be a part of a focus group. so we can discuss more and we can do it together, because you are not alone. We do this journey together. But we got to do it together. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we spend the next few moments talking to God. But let me just say, in the middle of this prayer that I'm praying to God, there's going to be a moment where you're going to have to talk to God. And you're going to need to tell him whether or not you're in, whether you're going to choose to grow. So let's pray. God, you're amazing. And we're so thankful that you have plans for us, that you stretch us, you grow us, that you don't want to leave us where we are at, but you've got so much more for us. And God, when we hear the plans you have, it strikes us as crazy, as unattainable or impossible. And yet with you, all things are possible. There is no limit. But God, here's what we know. You have been at work at this church. You've been at work in our lives. It's no mistake that people are here this morning. It's no mistake that people are watching online right now. It's no mistake, because your desire is that we grow in our faith and trust in you. But God, we recognize that it's got to begin somewhere, that it's got to start, that we've got to take some action, that we've got to sign on the dotted line. Like Noah had to go buy wood to go build this boat, we've got to do something. So God, across this room and across the other side of these cameras, on the internet, there are people who are talking to you. They're saying yes to you. So tell them right now, saying, God, I choose that this is the year I'm going to grow in my faith, that I want to trust God. Or tell them, I want to grow, God. I'm choosing to grow in my faith. Let them know. You decide. So God, I thank you that we're choosing together to grow in you, to trust you more, to believe, to be a part of your plans. Because God, we understand you've got the best plans. We don't want to delay. So God, help us as we continue to hear from you, that we would obey you, and that we would shorten the distance in between. We love you, God. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that just a few moments ago, I said, if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you an opportunity to receive that hope at the end. And here we are. God loves you so much. You thought you decided right now to watch or to be here in person. But it was really, the Bible says that God draws people to him. It's no accident or mistake that you're here. God loves you so much, and he wants to have a relationship. We've been talking all today about trusting God and beginning our faith journey. But remember, the very first part of growing our faith is saying yes to God. And we want to give you the opportunity to do that. So you may say, Pastor, how do I start this journey? What do I got to do to be right with God? Well, the Bible describes that there's kind of two parts to this. One really important part, and then the next step. See, in that first part, you got to have a conversation with God. We call it prayer. And in this prayer, that's where you decide to go all in. You recognize you're not worthy. You say you're sorry for your sin. You believe that God loved us and that he sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin, because we can't do it on our own. But we make a decision. We say, God, I'm making you the leader of my life. I'm going to follow you. I make you the boss of me. And then there's a second part. We call it water baptism. You see, the special part took place while we prayed and had that conversation with God, but God didn't mean for us to follow him by ourselves, but we're supposed to do it with a family, with this family. Jesus led the example in getting baptized. And when we get water baptized, it's like we create a word picture. We're saying, we're showing to everyone who's watching, hey, I already prayed. I'm following God. And I want all of you guys to know it, because I'm going to do this journey with you. And as we get placed underneath the water, it's like we're saying, the old me, it died. It's buried. It's dead. It's gone. And when we come out of the water, we're saying, hey, I have experienced new life in Jesus. It's like we've been born again. We become part of the family. We follow Jesus together. But it all starts when we have the conversation with God, when we pray, when we go all in. You see, it's at that moment that we're forgiven. It's in that moment that we're set free. It's in that moment that we get hope and mission and purpose. It's in that moment that we become a part of God's family. It's in that moment that our eternal destination switches from going to hell forever to going to heaven forever. As a matter of fact, this is so important that when one person decides to say yes to God and make him the lead of their life, the Bible describes that all the angels in heaven, they stop what they're doing. They throw a party. They say, another one has come home. Another one is a part of the family. Like we sang just a few moments earlier, talking about hell lost another one. I am free. Talking about I'm not going there. I'm a part of God's family. So I want to help you with this prayer. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer that I'm going to invite you to pray repeating after me. I'm going to say it in bite-sized pieces. And I'm going to encourage you to repeat after me, saying it out loud as well. But don't worry, you're not going to be alone. Because I'm inviting the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us. Because nobody prays alone at Focus Church. Why? Because this is the most important thing we do here. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so, without waiting any longer, let's pray this prayer right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.